It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm actually going to wait for my presentation to load up, but I also did want to mention, my name is Shalini Tendulkar. I'm a research associate at the Institute for Community Health. I am actually pinch hitting as well for one of my partners, Dr. Karen Hacker, who couldn't be here today. And I did also, I didn't realize she was going to be here, but I did want to acknowledge one of our other co-authors, Milagro Grillon, who's sitting right there in the front row and was very integrally involved with this project. So I'm here to talk to you about a conference that we put together called Taking It to the Curbside, Engaging Communities to Create Sustainable Change for Health. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. To give you a little bit of background about why we implemented this workshop, capacity building and sustainability, as they relate to community health improvement efforts, are really important concepts in community-based participatory research in CBPR. However, in the process of developing this conference, we realized that there really have been very few opportunities for community partners and academic researchers or investigators to come together to develop shared definitions for these concepts. And also really think about strategies for creating and enhancing capacity and ultimately having a sustainable impact on community health. So sort of having this as the framework or the background for the development of this conference, we applied for a grant to the Association for Prevention, Teaching, and Research that we received. And we had three main conference objectives. The first was to develop concrete and shared definitions of community capacity building and sustainability related to CBPR. Two was to increase the understanding of the potential barriers for moving to sustainable community interventions, and also to share potential solutions to overcome these barriers. And three, to really sort of strategize about how researchers and community members can work together to create sustainable change for health. So we were very fortunate to receive this funding from APTR, and we implemented a one-day conference. And I should say Harvard Catalyst, which is Harvard's Clinical and Translational Science Center, sort of convened or received the grant and sort of convened a large group of partners that are all listed here and were very involved in this project. And these included academic partners, but also community partners. So I did want to acknowledge them. We implemented this conference about a year ago, and it was really intended to be not sort of your typical didactic, we're going to stand up here and talk to you conference, but really a working one-day session. We had over 200 people attend, and we were really aiming to involve and have both a good representation from academic researchers and investigators who typically go to conferences like this, but also from community partners. And this was really a Northeast regional effort, so even though a lot of our participants came from Massachusetts, we really had representation from a range of states along the Northeast corridor. The program included a keynote address by Dr. Nina Wallerstein. We were really thrilled that she was able to attend. We also had some panel discussions. We had funders that came that were on the panel discussions. Milagro was on the panel discussion with an academic partner of hers and other folks that are doing CBPR work and really have a lot of experience in this area. And then we also decided to break up our attendees into small breakout sessions. And prior to the conference, we had interviewed some community partners and academic researchers that do CBPR and developed case studies that sort of illustrated the various concepts that we were trying to work through. We use these case studies in the breakout sessions to have participants think about how we define the concepts of capacity building and sustainability. And that was sort of the morning piece of the workshop. And then in the afternoon, we had them think about facilitators and barriers to those concepts and also think about strategies for how we can create sustainable health improvement in our communities. So this is just one of the breakout sessions. I wanted to show you a picture. We had a nice icebreaker type exercise in the beginning to get people to know each other. The groups were very small. I think that was no more than 15 to 20 participants per group. So once the workshop or conference was completed, we really wanted to take a close look at the discussions that occurred in the breakout sessions. And so what we did is we had student note takers who had transcribed as best they could the discussions in the breakout sessions, and we formed these small teams, analytic teams of a community of community representatives and academic partners to analyze the breakout session notes that the students had been kind enough to take for us. And we had several meetings. This was, as someone who's fairly new to qualitative research, this was a very rigorous process. We developed a code book. We looked very closely at our themes, at the content, and developed buckets and themes and created a code book, and basically tried to think about how we could move the discussion forward related to the objectives of the conference. And so we used NVivo, a qualitative data analysis software, and engaged in a lot of intensive coding. So what did we learn? I think one of the things we learned as far as how we think about the definition of capacity building is that it's really a very complicated concept. One of the quotes from our notes, a participant said, capacity building is academics working themselves out of a job such that the community eventually takes over the process and the university moves on to other projects. And we thought that that really captured very nicely this concept of capacity building. Other domains that sort of came up as related to this concept of capacity building included committed partnerships and infrastructure. And I know we often think about capacity building as sort of building infrastructure locally in a community organization or building their capacity to engage in research. So these were things that we learned that I think aligned with sort of what we were thinking about as far as capacity building. In terms of sustainability, again, this quote I think illustrates how folks in the room were really thinking about sustainability. Sustainability is building capacity and helping the community use their own data to help them continue work after the intervention has finished. And again, several concepts or domains emerged in this discussion around sustainability definitions, which included enduring over time. There was a lot of discussion amongst the various groups about engaging different generations of people in this process of improving community health. So really engaging, for example, with youth and really having them sort of be the leaders of the future. Folks also talked about a multi-level focus and sustainability being about creating impact at multiple levels. So for example, sort of recognizing that in order to create sustainable change, you have to address things like the social determinants of health. And then also another domain that emerged was around improved health or concrete outcomes. We also, as I mentioned earlier, asked participants to discuss this idea of what are some facilitators to sustainable community health improvement and barriers. And the facilitators and barriers, though we tried to sort of separate them out initially, sort of fell into four big buckets. And these included partnership characteristics, resources, shared vision and common goals, and contextual factors. So in terms of partnership characteristics, some of the facilitators that emerged from our analysis included having, as I mentioned earlier, youth being very involved in your health improvement efforts. People talked about engaging multiple stakeholders and how that was a really good way to sort of facilitate capacity building and sustainability, about having open and transparent communication. Because we did have a nice mix of community partners and academic researchers, folks also talked about having CBPR becoming more acceptable in the scientific community. They also talked about flexibility, creativity, consensus on how to fix tensions, and as we would expect, equitable partnerships. In terms of barriers, they talked about lack of trust. Racism was a theme that emerged, I think, fairly frequently in our coding process. Folks also talked about the academic approach and how that could be a barrier. And lack of a common language between academic partners and community partners, and also a predetermined mindset about what a partnership might look like or where sort of what the goals of the partnership might be. And another quote in the box below says, the funding can be found, but if you don't have the relationships, you can't sustain anything. So partnerships were really sort of important in what we learned. As far as resources, a lot of the findings are things that we would have expected. Time is a real facilitator, I think. staff leadership, infrastructure, having funders who are open and interested. We really tried to bring funders to this conference, so they were a part of these discussions as well. Skills development, transferability, and then a huge barrier, which does not seem to be a surprise at all, is lack of economic resources. And again, dealing with issues of sustainability, going from funder to funder, if the funding is no longer there, the group is no longer there, how do you continue it in the community? We really heard that people really wanted to engage funders in these types of discussions, and typically it's the academic partner and the researcher and the community partner who's sort of having these discussions, but ultimately there are funders out there that are actually supporting this work, and how can we engage them in these discussions to support sustainable change? They also discussed shared visions and common goals. Again, some facilitators were having shared goals between the community partners and the academic researchers. Having a broad focus, so if your project or your funding goes away, that you still have a reason to sort of work together and you can move on to the next thing, that it's not a project-specific partnership. And then another really important thing that emerged as a facilitator was around having measurable outcomes, that if you want to see, I think when you're doing this kind of work, the quote says, if you really want to be sustainable, you have to have measurements or benchmarks that you set forth at the beginning. Barriers, as you'd expect, include lack of agreement on outcomes, changing priorities on both the academic and community side, a lack of desired results, and sometimes a really very large amorphous mission or scope, and then obviously competing interests. In terms of contextual factors, most of what we heard was actually on the barrier side rather than the facilitator side, but really community research fatigue was brought up. And then changes, one of the other panelists mentioned sort of changes in the political environment or social environment, and also just the history. If there is sort of a historical precedence that sort of set the tone in that particular community, then that could influence the outcome of the efforts that the community and academic were engaging in. So as far as strategies, I think a few key strategies emerged from these discussions. The first is to develop partnerships around a clear, specific goal based on a community-identified need, which is really what CBPR is designed to do, but a need that really has a tangible benefit to your community. Another strategy was to ensure that community partners take on leadership roles. A third strategy was to build organizing structures or infrastructure and embed processes within these existing infrastructures to sort of solidify the partnership and move forward. And then another strategy was partnerships should also build capacity within institutions to value things that are important for communities, and also a sharing of power, of money, of control with the academic partner and the community partner. Other strategies included engaging the target population, and as I mentioned, there was a lot of discussion about engaging youth in this process, fostering appreciation for the value that both the community and the academic brings to the table. And also, another really interesting point was that it's crucial for these types of partnerships to find ways to shift from being in a crisis mode to sort of more of a wellness mode or focus. And then also another really interesting point, which I've sort of experienced in partnerships, is really being very intentional about this idea of sustainability and not waiting till the end of a grant or waiting till the end of a project to really start to think about sustainability, but sort of embed it early on in the process. And that was really an important learning. So what are our take-home points? I think one of the things we learned, even though going into this we really wanted to figure out, you know, what does it mean to build capacity and what does sustainability mean? We really realized that those things are very much interconnected and very difficult to disentangle. A huge theme that came out of this work was really this idea of partnership, which isn't novel, but really I think stood out in our discussions, that partnership is really both a facilitator of CBPR, but also a really important outcome in and of itself. And the other, big key point is that sustainability was linked to the bidirectional transfer of knowledge, not only between academics and community partners in both directions, but also intergenerationally. So in order to sustain these efforts, you really need to engage across generations. And then finally, that capacity building and sustainability were enhanced when there were shared goals with academic partners and community partners, and when there were clear and well-defined and measurable health outcomes. So in conclusion, capacity building and sustainability are crucial for community health improvement, and their meaning really differs depending on the perspective that you're coming to this discussion from. And even though this sort of is just one discussion and sort of one perspective of a group of people that came together, we really think that it's important to continue to have more opportunities for investigators or academic researchers and community partners to jointly think about these constructs and help move this discussion forward. Thank you.